And it is good to be here and to celebrate. This morning, I want to talk to you about faith and having our faith tested. Have you ever had your faith tested? If you've never had your faith tested, you've never walked in faith. I just want to say that up front, because God will test our faith. The world will test our faith. But today we're looking at a testing of faith and how someone responds to that. And I'm wondering how we respond when we have our faith tested. If you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 1 this morning. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 57. And I do ask that you stand with me in honor of God's Word this morning. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse number 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and her relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. And so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise a child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And so they all marveled. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke, praising God. And then fear came on all who dwelt around them. And all these sayings were discussed throughout all of the hill country of Judea. And all of those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your blessings upon us. Lord, we ask for your help and for your healing for ourselves and for those who are absent from us today. Healing of our minds and our souls and our bodies. Lord, strengthen us in our hope and in our faith and in our joy in you and in the blessings that you have poured upon us. And Lord, help us to be strong and to walk in our faith every day, depending on you and trusting in you and giving testimony of you. And we ask it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. So in case you are not aware, there is a lot that has happened. Zacharias was a priest. Elizabeth is his wife. And Elizabeth, now she has a lineage. She is of the daughters of Aaron. So she goes all the way back to Moses, Aaron, and she's got a lineage, a daughter of Aaron. And they are temple people. Yeah, I'd say church people, but there weren't churches back then like we have today, right? So temple people. Let's say they were like us, except they were in that phase when God was beginning to change from the Old Testament covenant into the new covenant that was coming in His Son, Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament, it had been promised that one would come before the Christ who would announce him as one who cries out in the wilderness. And we know that John was going to be that voice, John the Baptist, John who was just born and is being celebrated. But if you don't know, Zacharias and Elizabeth were old. They were old in age. I mean, they were like old in age. How many of us here can relate to that? Unfortunately. And Zacharias, he had his time of service came for him to go into the temple and to burn the incense before the veil of the Most Holy. He was in the holy place, but he wasn't into the Most Holy. He was outside the veil, and they would burn incense morning and night. And it was to represent the prayers that were being lifted before God, a sweet-smelling aroma, the prayers of Israel that were coming through the one priest serving, Zacharias. And you know, Zacharias had his own request of God. How many of you have ever gone to God and just said, God, I have a friend, and that's all I want to talk about today? You always find time to slip in yourself in those conversations with God, don't you? In those moments of prayer. And Zacharias had been praying to God. He didn't have any children. He had no son, no one to carry his name on. Elizabeth was barren with no children. They were past the age of childbearing. And he is in prayer. And then behold, an angel is standing before him. Gabriel had come because God had sent him to tell Zacharias his prayers had been heard and would be answered, and that he would have a son. Now that's amazing, isn't it? Sounds a lot like what we see in the Old Testament. You remember Abraham and Sarah? And Sarah laughed, said she didn't. But then she had a son, and we know how the nation of Israel is born through Isaac, and how all of that happens. And now we're at this point where a priest who is lifting prayers before God for the nation, for himself, for his family, has an angel, Gabriel, an angel that is really close to God, stands before God in his presence all the time, who was sent to tell him, you will have a son. And you know what Zacharias said. Now, this is a test of faith. How many of you, when you go to God and you ask for something, you just ask, but you don't expect? You don't think that God's really listening to you. Well, what if God sends a messenger to prove to you that he has listened and that he will answer your prayers? How do you respond then? Do you do like Zacharias and say, well, I don't know, how am I going to know that's for real, you know? I mean, he's at the altar in the holy place before the veil of the most holy, lifting prayer and incense before God. An angel of God stands there and he says to him, really? That's our terms today, right? Really? You want me to believe that? That's a test of faith, isn't it? When a messenger of God comes to us, we should be feeling a lot of things, but doubt is not one of the things that should enter into our minds, because God is making it real, not just that we are serving him, but that he is, and that he's heard, and that he will provide. He even gives him specific instructions about it. You will have a son. You will call him John. Zacharias, like many of us, I think. Oh, really? You expect me to believe that, right? And because he acted with such doubt, the angel shut his mouth. He couldn't speak. He couldn't utter a word. He couldn't communicate except with hand signals or by writing, we see here. And when he finally came out of the temple from serving his time of prayer, everyone who was around could tell he had seen a vision. They could tell something had happened because he was doing all of the hand signals and the waving and trying to explain the best he could. You know, how many of us in here know sign language? Maybe one or two of us? A few, maybe? Well, if you try to talk to me with sign language, I'm going to do this. Y'all know what that is, right? You're driving me crazy. And that's about all I'll be able to respond. So can you imagine what everybody around Zacharias was trying to get from him? I can't imagine what it must have been like. And then when he went home and Elizabeth became pregnant, she hid herself for 5 months. So you know, John, I don't know what he's up to, but he can't talk, so he's not able to serve. He's not able to do his priestly duties. He can't even share the good news that had been given to him. I want to ask you today, how many of you believe in Jesus Christ and have not shared the good news? And I would ask you why. Because hasn't God, through His Word, told us that we should go and tell? We should go and tell. And when we have moments to go and tell, do we feel that our mouths are clamped shut and we can't witness? And sometimes we say it's because we're afraid, but I want to ask you a real question, and I'm beginning to meddle now. Is it really because we haven't been living the testimony, so we can't speak the testimony? You see, Zacharias, he was a man with enough faith to serve God, but not a man of enough faith to trust God or to trust in His Word when it was given. He couldn't trust in the power of the Most Holy God, the Most High, the One that nothing is impossible with. Not with Abraham and Sarah, certainly not with him and Elizabeth, and certainly not with us and our life today. So when we are given opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, especially in this season that we celebrate, why is it that we can't speak the testimony of Christ in our life? What God is doing for us. You see, that's what Zacharias couldn't tell all of these people what God was about to do for him, because he had shown a life of service and belief, but when the moment came and he was standing even before an angel of God, he said, "Really?" And the angel shut him up. Shut him up. In the moment of truth, he couldn't tell the good news. And sometimes I think we forget that when we choose to follow God, there are expectations that God has of us as well. To trust Him, to obey Him, to walk in faith and in the power of that faith every day. I'm not telling you He's going to give you a brand new Cadillac. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that God is with you in all things, and in all things, God overcomes troubles. He brings joy and happiness even when there seems like there ought to be sorrow. Even in moments of sorrow, I can smile because I know God has given me an answer to sorrow. And it's His Son, Jesus Christ. And there are in so many ways I could describe that. But I'm asking you about you and your faith. Have you ever felt that you were tested in your faith? Have you ever failed in that moment of test when it was upon you? Now, I do want to say this. When the baby was born, we see that God's promise has been fulfilled, and everyone was celebrating. They were celebrating with Elizabeth. They were cheerful. They were jumping with joy. They were celebrating life. My goodness, celebrating life. I know you ladies can really get into that joy of having a child, and the guys, I know you are thinking somebody's going to change them diapers and it ain't me. Celebrating life. And aren't we celebrating life in Christ? Shouldn't we be cheerful and jumping with joy and celebrating life that we have in Christ, because God has given this to us freely? Freely. He has called us into the joy of salvation through Jesus. They were celebrating. And they were happy. Elizabeth was not barren. She had a child. And they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name the child. And they said, what shall you name the child? And she said, John. Now, here's where another test of our faith can come into play. The whole crowd looked at her and said, John? There ain't nobody in your family named John. Where are you coming up with John? Have you ever wondered how you got your name? Somebody in the family Or did, you know, you just throw a dart at a map and whatever it hit, that's what you call them. Red River, Cheyenne, Mountain Rest. That was where I was at this past week, by the way. That'd be a good name, wouldn't it? Mountain Rest. Just call me MR, Mister. You know, you come up with names because you think about family members that you have grown really close with and that you have loved, or even a friend. Wonderful, beautiful name, a friend. Maybe a song. Wonderful name in a song. I'm going to name my child after this song. Well, in this day and age with Zacharias and Elizabeth, you know, they like to keep the family name going. And she said, John, and everybody's like, what? John? And they turned around to Zacharias and they were trying to ask him. Of course, you know, he still can't speak. I mean, God's punishment is continuing. You know, this has been a long time now, at least 9 months, right? Not been able to talk. But they did keep pencil and paper handy because they knew he was going to have to write something. So he asked to write, and he did, and he wrote the name. He wrote this, he shall be called John. And they marveled at that. John? Even this man's calling him John. But then immediately, his mouth was loose, his tongue was loose, and he could speak and celebrate. And the people began to marvel. Can you imagine what Zacharias was beginning to tell them? The vision, the angel, Gabriel, the promise of the Son, and that he would be a mighty hand for God in his life. And that's why we see this in the Scripture. Those who heard them kept them in their hearts saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. You see, walking in faith means that we will have our faith tested. Sometimes on whether we trust God, sometimes whether we will be obedient to do as God tells us. And that's where family and friends can really play an influence in our life. You know, they wanted to call the child John. Everybody around them said, you don't have anybody in your family named John. But they had to be obedient to God's word. And so even Zacharias said in writing, he shall be called John. They were being obedient to God. Why is it in our life we allow our friends and our families and cohorts and cahoots and whoever else lead us into actions that are disobedient to God when we have an opportunity to be a witness even through our actions, whether it's not through our words? Do you understand what I'm saying? You look at what the world tells you is okay today. The same things that the world has always said is okay, which are the same things that might be what God has always said is not okay. I'm talking about moral decay. I'm talking about living in sin. I'm talking about dishonoring yourself as much as you dishonor others. And God. You know, God says there is a way of life that we should live. And if we are children of God through Jesus Christ, and we can't give a testimony, and we trample the blood of Christ under our feet through the way that we live, how much more shall we have to answer for when the day of judgment comes? People say to me, well, I'm saved. I was born again in Jesus Christ. Well, you need to read the Scriptures because you still are going to stand before Christ and give an answer. Read what Paul writes in Corinthians. He said, we all build our salvation on the foundation that is Jesus Christ, for there is no other foundation. But Jesus will judge with eyes of fire of our work and what sort it is. whether we have built on that foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, or whether it was built with wood, hay, and stubble. And if it is wood, hay, and stubble, it will be burnt away. We will be processed and cleansed completely. And we will, and I want y'all to hear this, suffer loss. I know we have in our minds that once we die and enter into the presence of Christ, everything is peace. There's no more crying. My friends, that's a later point in Scripture. After all of the judgment and everything is done, then all of the tears will be wiped away, even the ability to cry. But we will stand before God and answer for what we have done in our faith. And if we have done nothing but build with wood, hay, and stubble, and that means with things that have no substance for God, and are contrary to God, disobedient to God, He will wipe that out, and we will stand before Him with nothing to offer except this, but I trusted You. And we will suffer the loss of all that is burnt away in that moment of judgment. Do you know what the word suffer means? It means we will feel it. And I don't know exactly how we're going to feel it, but we will feel it emotionally. I'm going to be standing before Jesus Christ, who was beat and whipped and spit upon and hung upon a cross, and His wounds there for me to see. And I'm going to say, well, sorry. I just thought it was okay. Everybody else was doing it. And God has given us His Word that clearly teaches us. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It matters what I'm telling you to do. To walk in faith, to trust Me, to give your testimony of My goodness so that others can find hope where there is hopelessness. How many people would be saved from facing Christ without ever finding salvation if we could just loose our tongues with the good news of Jesus Christ? If we could just be obedient, more than just kneeling before a curtain in privacy and lifting prayers, but before the world, walking in testimony and in deed that our love for Christ is something we strive to show because of His love that is shown for us. We have our faith tested every day. Some days we do well. Some days it's not so well. None of us, doesn't matter what our lineage is, are perfect yet, are we? But I want to challenge you to find forgiveness and strength today. To find new life in Christ today and begin this journey that calls us to walk with Him and to trust Him. It is a journey that we will never regret. There will be moments when we go, why? And there will be moments when we get the answer. But what do you do when you don't? You keep walking in faith. You trust God. You don't listen to all the noise around you. You don't do it just because others tell you you should do it or this is the way it's supposed to be. God changes things, doesn't He? You imagine how the Jews felt when Jesus came on the scene and He says, I'm giving you a new covenant. Well, we know how they felt. You know how people will feel in this world when you go before them and say, God has given us a new covenant in love and in life through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know how the world's going to react to that? You already know how they're going to react to that. But you keep walking in faith because our testimony is real. And our hope is alive because our Savior is alive and on the throne. And one day, he will come as he has promised. Are you ready for that day? We're celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior in this time. We see how one birth preceded his, and we know what happens with his, and the star and the angels and the wise men. We know all of that. Let's be wise people ourselves and travel throughout our communities and our world, what is our life, and share the good news of Jesus Christ for those who need to know there is a hope for everyone who will come. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I invite you today to come and to find the peace and the hope that is in Christ, even in times of trouble. I tell you, He loves you, and He will love you every day. He will be with you every day. Be with Him the same as He is with you. The altar is open. Will you come? Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for the salvation that we have in you. Lord, not of ourselves, but that you did this for us and that you freely receive us. I pray, Father, for renewing of hearts and strength and faith, and Lord, for testimony to be reborn, to be alive and cheerful. And I pray, Father, all of this will be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come while the altar is open?